Welcome to Aging in Place, a podcast about the challenges of home and community-based living for seniors and people living with disabilities, and discussing the tools and solutions available to residents of the state of Washington. Welcome to the show. I'm Tobias Panchin.
This is Julie Cope.
Hi, my name is Lee Schuler, and in this podcast series, we would like to break down the cost and coverage of long-term services and supports, LTSS. The Aging and Long-Term Support Administration also promotes choice, independence, and safety through innovative services and partnerships with tribes, advocates, providers, and caregivers to support seniors and people with disabilities so they can live with good health, independence, dignity, and control over their decisions that affect their lives.
Most people aged 65 and older, and many people under age 65 with disabilities, have Medicare, but Medicare does not cover most long-term services and supports. Instead, Medicaid is the primary payer for long-term services and supports. Beyond paid or unpaid caregiving provided by relatives, long-term services and support costs often exceed what individuals and families can afford given other personal and household expenses. Institutional settings such as nursing facilities and residential care facilities are the most costly. In 2015, the national median annual cost for nursing facility care was $91,000. However, last year in Washington, the annual Medicaid annual cost in a nursing facility was nearly $121,000 per resident, and this is for a shared room. Generally, home and community-based services are less expensive than institutionally-based services, but still represent a major financial burden for individuals and their families who may need long-term services and supports. In 2015, the median cost for 1 year of home health aid or personal caregiving at around $20 an hour and approximately 44 hours a week was almost $46,000. An adult daycare at $69 a day, 5 days a week, so during the work week, totaled almost $18,000. And frankly, these costs will continue to increase. They'll continue to go up.
So with few affordable options in the private insurance market and limited coverage under Medicare, those with insufficient resources rely on Medicaid. According to the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, total national spending on long-term services and supports was $310 billion in 2013, with Medicaid covering 51% of total expenditures, followed by other public, out-of-pocket spending, and private insurance.
LTSS supports seniors and younger people with disabilities who are entitled to Medicare and are also eligible for some level of assistance from their state Medicaid program. Medicare acts as the primary payer for a range of services for dual eligibles. Medicaid provides cost-sharing assistance and may pay for services not covered or limited under Medicare. In 2023, Washington State budget of $24.8 million previously enacted in 2021 to 2023 for LTSS. What actually was approved was $62.7 million, which is an increase of 62%. This shows that our state, we are on the right track to support our aging adults and people with disabilities. Still, we need to align Medicare and Medicaid financing, seeking to better integrate and coordinate primary, acute, behavioral health, and LTSS for this vulnerable beneficiary population. In our first episode titled The Age Wave, we referred to how state Medicaid directors are asking CMS to advance person-centered outcomes and quality through innovative payments and approaches. If this state can continue to move with the age wave, we will be able to provide and continue to increase needed supports for people to remain in their communities.
In Washington, Lee, what you were just describing, we refer to that as the dual special needs population, or DSNP, and that's where there is a managed Medicare benefit that is tied to a managed Medicaid benefit. And between the two, all of those medical approaches that you were talking about are integrated under one payer or one managed care organization. I wanted to take a moment to talk about private long-term care insurance. It is typically inaccessible to all with current or future care needs, often due to high premium prices. And although private long-term care insurance, which initially began as nursing facility insurance, has been available for about 30 years, the market and utilization for this insurance product remains pretty small. About a decade ago, the private long-term care insurance coverage and premiums were about $2,200. It's a bit more expensive than that now, though it does cover a wider range of long-term services and supports. Regardless of whether an individual has long-term care insurance or not, though, it continues to be pretty burdensome for individuals and families with limited incomes. And this is especially true for seniors who face higher premium costs while living on a lower fixed income.
I truly understand that. With my mother-in-law and father-in-law on their fixed income, they couldn't afford to have that insurance to cover their long-term services if it wasn't for us living with us. So finding these outcomes and supports in private insurance and being affordable private insurance is a big obstacle for our aging community.
The good news for those of us who live in Washington is that in order to remedy this situation, Washington has established the Washington Cares Fund. This is a first step towards protecting our workers against the economic and social risks of needing long-term care as they age. So with the Washington Cares Fund, starting on July 1st, 2023, workers in Washington will contribute to the fund through a 0.58% payroll tax, so just a little bit over 0.5%, and then starting in July of 2026, each person who's eligible to receive the benefit can access care costing up to $36,500. That amount is going to be adjusted annually for inflation, and this new benefit hopes to better position the state to cope with the fiscal and economic costs of the coming age wave and the long-term care challenges that we're facing. And we're going to be talking about the Washington Cares Fund in a lot more depth in a future episode.
The recent biennium budget approval is allocating additional funding for those administrations which provide long-term services and supports. This would include Aging and Long-Term Support Administration and Developmental Disabilities Administration. In the coming weeks, as the state is synthesizing the budget details, Washington's Medicaid delivery of long-term services and supports will be planning for implementation and operationalization in the new fiscal year, which begins July 1 here in Washington. Some of the highlights included in this next biennium budget are increased funding for home care worker shortage and long-term care workers. So this includes looking at changing our current state's family member definitions and altering approaches of who we can pay or who Medicaid can pay as a long-term care personal care provider, or piloting a program where spouses can be paid for personal care, which would be a new approach here in Washington. There's funding now for community housing transitions to support finding and sustaining housing for those with affordable housing needs, to include landlord retainer payments when a tenant may be at a nursing facility or at risk of losing their housing due to a lengthy institutionalization, increased funding for affordable housing rental subsidies. There's additional funding and a desire to increase the number of specialized settings for aging adults to include specialized dementia settings and expanded services facilities, which provides long-term services and support to individuals who also have intensive behavior support needs, increased rates for assisted living facilities, nursing facilities, and adult family homes, as well as additional funding for the implementation and rollout of the Washington CARES Act.
I feel that with the lowering of funding, we find ourselves searching for other ways to maintain these supports for folks, looking towards more federal grants, more money from other sources within the budget. Tobias, can you tell us about how Washington supports our community members with coverage and services?
Absolutely. Washington is committed to supporting our community members by offering an opportunity to explore diverse aging experiences and discuss how communities can mitigate stereotypes. Activities and social opportunities for older adults are abundant in Washington. To explore new ideas and participate in social groups, fitness classes, senior center programs, finding volunteer programs, managing the care of someone who is experiencing dementia, and more, see the following resources: Department of Health Fall Prevention Programs, Silver Sneakers Fitness Program, which provides gym access and fitness classes at no cost for adults 65 and above through Medicare. AmeriCorps Seniors connects 55 and older people with others and with organizations that need them most, with programs such as Retired Senior Volunteer Program, Senior Companions Program, and Foster Grandparents Program. MomentiaSeattle.org is empowering people with memory loss and their loved ones to remain connected and active in the community. Tacoma Older LGBT services older adults in Tacoma, Pierce County, and surrounding areas. And Kinship Caregivers provides information and resources to individuals who are raising a child or another family member or friend.
Julie, could you tell us who or if any coverage is out there when there are shortfalls in coverage through Medicare and Medicaid?
I think that depends on what you're looking for as far as service delivery. It's hard to project what kinds of services and supports an individual is going to need in a future state. My experience is in working with those who have had a medical emergency or an unexpected medical event. It's kind of impacted the lens with which I view the entire system of health and the service delivery. There is no person that I've encountered who plans for a medical emergency or is looking forward to a decrease in some type of physical functioning. And for those Washingtonians who have limited means or limited support systems, an unplanned health crisis can end up resulting with all types of losses. In a relatively short period of time, an individual could lose physical functioning, they could lose gainful employment, as well as even accessible or affordable housing due to the costs of medical care, and that would include long-term services and supports. So I guess what I'm saying is the long-term care industry, working in it for the past 20 years, what it has revealed is that a lot of folks seem to believe or have a misunderstanding of what their Medicare benefits are. And they think when they turn 65 and are able to access that Medicare benefit, that their medical coverage, including long-term care, will be covered. But it just isn't. Medicare is really geared for short-term services. And if folks need any kind of long-term care for more than 3 months, they end up impoverishing themselves, and that's the only way folks can apply for Medicaid and receive Medicaid services. And even though in the past 20 years that I've been in the industry, there have been some remarkable changes in service delivery, expanding age groups, affordability, and access, and even though I work in Washington, who's, I mean, let's face it, we're an early adopter. We're the first state in the nation who's looking at offering a statewide long-term care benefit through the Washington CARES Fund. there continues to be probably innumerable shortfalls for aging and disabled adults, because even though we're trying to plan for the future, it's hard to know what types of services are going to be necessary or what people will want to engage with in the next 10 years. So what I would say for those who are listening is to try to pay attention of what their loved ones' needs are or what they think that they will want in the future, and start advocating for these services now so that there's time to build and support the infrastructure for long-term services and support delivery, certainly in Washington, but also slowly across the nation as well.
Well, thank you so much for that. That was very well said. And thank all of you for joining us on this episode of Aging in Place. On the next episode, we're going to be discussing a program called Money Follows the Person, or MFP. We're going to be talking about what it is and how it supports the aging community. We look forward to seeing you next time. Aging in Place is produced by Julie Cope, Tobiah Panchin, and Lee Schuler in conjunction with the Evergreen State College Graduate Studies Program. For additional information, citations, and show notes, please visit us on the web at capstone.panchin.net.